Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And now, here's today's message. Maintaining your confession of faith in the midst of adversity. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And God has already promised us and given us his word. Actually, he's declared and spoken a word over us that we always triumph in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that God always gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. The Bible says in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What things? He's talking about hardship and hard places in life. He's saying that in all these things, we're more than conquerors. What I found out is that the Bible is full of confessions of faith. You don't really have to look very far to get a confession of faith because they're all right there in the Bible. Amen. The Bible, everybody say, the Bible is full of confessions of faith. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus is real big on confession because he said, if you're ashamed of me and of my words, he says, I won't confess you before the Father. He said, but if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and before his holy angels. The Bible says that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He's the high priest of our confession. That means he watches over our confession. Amen. It's because he has provided so much that he intends every believer to have a confession of faith that he can watch over and make it good in your life. The reason why he watches over your confession of faith is to make it good in your life. See, because not one of his words will fall to the ground. Jesus said in the Bible, he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you latch on to the word of God that's been God breathed to you, I'm going to tell you, it's going to create faith in you.
That's right.
Amen. Yeah, yeah. How many of y'all know Romans 10:17? Yeah. Says, so then what? Faith cometh how? By hearing and what? And hearing by the what? The word of God. Now, let me break that down to you. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes to you. That's how faith comes into your life. It is by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, if you never hear and hear and hear, guess what? You're never going to get to a place where you have a confession of faith. Because faith won't come to you if you're not hearing it, if you're not hearing the word. Now, the word W-O-R-D in that scripture is the word rhema in the Greek. Rhema means the spoken word of God. There's two Greek words that describe the word W-O-R-D. One of them is called logos, and the other one is called rhema. Logos is the written word of God, or is God's word in general. Like, when I have the Bible here, I could say, this is the word of God, and it is. But I could also say, this is the logos of God. That means, in its entirety, it's the written word. It's the word that God has breathed upon. It's the word that was inspired by God. It came forth from God. But the rhema, is the word that God speak to you individually. There's certain scriptures that speak to me that God impresses upon my heart, or that he speaks and whispers to my spirit. That is the word that causes faith to come. It is the spoken word of God. It is the word that God gives to you in your situation that causes faith to come. Hallelujah. Now, you can try to stand on somebody else's word that God gave them, but that word is a logos to you. And you can stand on logos, but I'm going to tell you, And you got to stand on Logos until it becomes an inspired word to you, until God speaks that word to you the way you're not saying, well, God told so-and-so that he's going to do this for them, and this scripture he gave him, so I'm going to stand on the same scripture. Well, that's a Logos to you right then. You just took the word because it's the will of God. But when you start spending time with that word, meditating on that word, declaring that word, speaking the word, thanking God for that word, that God literally makes that word real to you. Yeah. It's where God gives life to that word to you, where it becomes a word that's spoken to you by God. Amen. That's what causes faith to come. And when faith comes, then something's going to come out of your mouth. Glory to God. Let me give you an illustration. Y'all have heard me talk about it before. You know, Jesus said, he told them, y'all go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. He's saying, lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. I'm with you always. All right? You can tell somebody that and they say, oh, I know the Lord with me, but it don't mean nothing to them. Right? You know why? It's still Logos. Right? You know why? People go through all kinds of trouble. You say, well, you know, the Lord told you he never going to leave you. Now, that may be a rhema to me, but that's a Logos to them. I'm telling that to them, but it ain't minister to them at all. Well, if God with me, why I got all this trouble? If God is with me, why am I going through all this? It ain't rhema to them. But when God speaks that word to you and he quickens that word in your own heart and now it becomes a word spoken to you by the Holy Ghost, that it comes alive in you, now you say, God's with me. It gives you a totally different outlook now. Now it don't matter what kind of trouble you're going through, right? Because you got a rhema now. And now it don't matter what it look like on the outside. You say, God told me he's going to be with me. You can live by the Logos, right? Because it'll keep you lying out. It'll keep you in the will of God, you know, knowing the right thing to do and stuff like that. But if you're really going to walk by faith, you got to spend enough time with God until he begins to turn Logos into rhema. Till he begins to speak that word to your spirit. Amen. And I knew that scripture was in the Bible, that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I knew that, but you know, that scripture just wasn't registering on me. Until one night, and all of a sudden I heard a word from God that said, Greg, I will not abandon you. Uh-oh. Now, I know that word come out of the scripture. Right? So I said, what did you say? He said, I said, I will not abandon you. And boy, I closed my eyes. And I listened to that word again. And I let that word go from my soulless realm. I let that word drop down into my spirit like a deposit. Like I just let it drop down. And I said, well, I felt it when it lodged, when it went boom, hit the bottom, boom, in me, boom. I said, okay. I got it. And now, everything in my life different. Because now it don't matter about all them questions that I had in my mind about how I'm going to do this and how I'm going to do that and how this is going to happen and what doors going to open here and how you going to open that. That don't even concern me no more. All I know now is that I ain't going to be abandoned. No matter what happened, I just know somehow he going to make a way. I ain't even worried about this thing no more. It done become a rhema now. Now I'm speaking now. Well, what you gonna do now? I don't know. I know God gonna make a way. See, I got my confession of faith now. Hallelujah. Where'd that confession come from? It came from the rhema of God. Amen. Glory to God. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? God. How many of y'all know? Glory to God. I remember another time I was praying for somebody. And I've been meditating on the word, you know, just casually saying, you know, I come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I would pray that when I prayed, but, you know, I mean, I was praying it because that's what the word say. And he said, come boldly. So I said, Lord, I come boldly. I wasn't feeling nothing. I wasn't feeling that scripture, but I was acting on it in faith, right? I come boldly to the throne of grace. But I'm going to tell you, but there was a tremendous need that hit somebody's life where I knew they needed God's touch. And then when I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace. Now that word got quickened. Life came into that word, and I felt like I was ushered into the presence of God. I felt like I was around the throne. I was scared to open my eyes. Because of what I thought I might see, I said, oh, no, I'm in the presence of God. I said, this throne room is real. I'm here. You know, when he said come boldly to the throne of grace, that means there must be a throne of grace. It must mean you can come to it. Right? Not physically, but in the spirit. Right? So I know in the spirit I was ushered to the throne room of God, and I began to plead my case. And I said, Father, this, that, and Father, this, and Father, that, and Father, that. I said, I came to ask you for this. And then I got quiet, and he said, what you've asked me for, your petition's granted. I said, thank you. And I backed on out. When I come out of that prayer room, I come out of there with confidence. Now they're telling me the bad news, so I don't care what the bad news is. Nah, I don't even care. It don't make no difference. Y'all can tell me anything you want to tell me. Nah, I don't even care. It don't make no difference. God, that's stronger than any other word that I have. You understand? The word that I got from God, and I got more weight on it than any other word that I could find from any other man. It is heavier, it is weightier than any other word of man. You understand? That word that took preeminence in my life, it drowns out the voice of all those other voices. When that word come to you, when that rhema come to you like that, I'm going to tell you, faith comes into your heart, and then there's a bold confession that comes out of your mouth. And then the devil going to fight. He'll come against you and say, well, it ain't going to happen like that. You know, and you start hearing all the negative reports, but you got something on the inside. All you do is you go back and you remember the moment and the time that God gave you that rhema, and you say, no, it shall be this way. Yes. Just like he said it. Glory to God. How many of y'all getting that? Hallelujah. That's the confession of faith. It's not just you picking out a bunch of scriptures. That's all right. Pick them out. Hallelujah. Get the word on the inside. Right? And at the appropriate time, the Holy Ghost will breathe life on the scripture you need, because you done put it in them. You put the Logos in, he brings the rhema out.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. You put the Logos in. You spend time meditating on them scriptures, learning them scriptures, acting on them scriptures. You understand? Lining your life up with them scriptures. And then when adversity comes, the Lord say, you got something in you that I can use. You got something in you I can use. Let me blow on this scripture right here. This is going to take you through.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory. Then that scripture comes alive in you, and then all of a sudden you rise up strong, and you say, God done spoke to me about this situation. I ain't worried about it no more, because I got a word from God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I'm going to tell you. There's something about having a confession of faith. Because a confession of faith is born in the presence of God. Right? So if you don't spend time with God, if you don't fellowship with him, if you don't read your Bible, if you don't pray, you are never going to get to a place where you got a strong confession of faith. Because it is born in the presence of God. It comes right out of your relationship with God. That's why every one of us need to be working overtime on our relationship with God. That we ain't let nothing come between us and him. You know how you do with your best friend? I ain't let nothing come between me and my best friend. You ain't gonna even let nobody talk about him. Right? You gotta be like that with God. You don't talk about God in my presence. Don't be lying on my God.
That's right.
Take it personal.
Amen.
Glory to God. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. I gotta give you some scriptures. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So you gotta have a bold confession of faith. And then you gotta hold on to it. Because that confession of faith has life in it. Glory to God. It is, the rhema of God is the heart and mind of God revealed to you for the situation that you're in.
Amen.
It's God's heart and God's mind revealed to you at that moment what he's speaking to you right now. Because you got all these scriptures in here. What scripture am I going to stand on? Am I going to go eeny, meeny, miny, mo? That look like, oh, I'm going to close my eyes. You know how sometimes we do this. Lord, I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to open it right here, and I'm going to go just right here, turn around in a circle, put my hand here, and Lord, whatever my finger land on, that's the word you speaking to me. Here it is right here. Then you read that thing, and it say, and Judas hanged himself, go and do thou likewise. Oh, no, that wasn't God. You know, that scripture's in the Bible, you know. So this is not a helter-skelter thing here where it's the eeny, meeny, miny, moe, where you close your eyes and just turn the page and say, now, Lord, speak to me. And whichever one my finger land, that's what you're saying to me. Now, I'm not going to say God can't do that, but I'm going to tell you that ain't his normal pattern. You understand? That's not his normal way of doing things. God could do it that way because that's where you at mentally. Right? That's where you at in your level of maturity. He might have to minister to you that way because I know I done put my finger on a few of them and it was good. But, you know, it come a time God expect you to grow up from that. Right? See, the Bible says those that are unskillful in the word of righteousness have need of milk. So God give them milk. Milk is this right here. Lord, put my hand right here, Lord, whatever. And you hope that it say something good. And then you read something, it don't even make sense. Let me try it again. I'm more than a conqueror through you. That's it right there. That's it. That's it. That's it. If God be for me, who can be against me? That's it. That's God. So you got to grow up. Bible says they that are full grown have need of strong meat.
Hallelujah.
See, everybody in the body of Christ ain't on the same diet.
That's right.
Some people's on milk. And some people is on strong meat. Amen. And my job as a pastor is that in every message, I got to give some milk out. And I got to give some strong meat.
Right.
People that's digging into the word don't want drink milk every Sunday.
No,
right? And people that can't digest meat can't just get meat every Sunday. You got to give them some milk.
Amen. Praise God. Preach it.
Glory to God. Y'all in Hebrews chapter 10? Hebrews chapter 10. I want to show you this in the scriptures here. I'm going to show you that the Bible is full of confessions of faith that you can really make your own. You can make them your own, and you can meditate on them till God quicken them to you. They're true anyway. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore boldness, brethren, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without what?
Wavering.
Without wavering. See, there's always a temptation to waver from it, to go from it, to doubt it. For he is what? Faithful that did what? That promise. In other words, he's saying, look, when God didn't gave you, he's taking for granted here that you got a rhema from God, which has become your confession of faith because you got it out of the presence of God. He's saying, now look, when your faith is tested and tried, don't waver from your confession.
That's right.
Because God is faithful that did what?
Promise.
So in other words, he's saying God didn't gave you a word that he intended you to believe and stand on. He said, and when your faith is tested and tried, don't waver, don't wander away, don't doubt it, don't neglect it, don't turn from it, because God is the one that gave you the promise, or the one that quickened the word to you, is faithful to bring it to pass in your life.
Amen.
I never saw that like that before. He's faithful that promise. Why is that there? Because it is taken for granted that you got a word from God that you're standing on. You're taking a promise from God's word, and it's been challenged in your life. In other words, look like that word ain't going to come to pass. And there's a wavering that can come against your mind and make you say, well, I know God spoke this to me, but things don't look like it. You know, things went totally opposite the way I wanted them to go. I mean, it don't like this ever going to happen the way God said it. He said, when God done gave you a rhema, he said, hold fast. That word hold fast means to get a firm grip on it. It means to get a tight grip. For lack of a better term, y'all know what a death grip is? A death grip is a grip that won't let go, right? So what he's saying, I hate to use the word death, I'm going to call it a life grip. When you grab hold of life, you don't want to let go of life. You get you a life grip on it. You understand? You know that this is your life right here. This is your life. The word of God is your life. It is your salvation. It is your deliverance. And you got to get a grip on it. In other words, you got to keep it in your mouth and not say what the enemy has been saying to you about the promise you're standing on. You know, he's trying to get your confession from it. What's he trying to do? He's trying to take it out your mouth. See, he said, hold fast to your confession. Your confession is the words you speak. It's what you believe. It's the evidence. It is the proof of what you're really believing and standing for and speaking and declaring and decreeing in your life. He said, get a firm grip on your confession of faith without wavering. Even in the midst of severe testing and trials, you got to hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering, because he is faithful that promised. It means that if God gave you that word, God is big enough to back it up and make it come to pass. In other words, God's not going to let that word fall to the ground in your life. He will perform that word for you. There shall be a performance of the word that's been spoken to you by the Holy Ghost. There'll be a performance. Everybody say, there'll be a performance of the word of God, of the rhema of God that's been spoken in my life. Glory to God. Now think back right now. Think back to a rhema that God done gave you. Think back right now. Go back in your mind and pick up one right now. Think back to a time when God spoke to you, that he gave you a rhema about the situation that you're in. Now, you might have let it go, but I'm telling you tonight, grab a hold of it again. God maybe spoke something to you and the door closed in your face. And now it don't look like it's ever going to happen. I'm going to tell you, go back, kick the door open, and get your confession back. And say, nope, God's going to perform this word. God gave me this word. I let it slip, but I ain't letting it slip no more. See, Paul said, I had to put you in remembrance of these things, lest at any time you let these things slip. Amen. We let some things slip sometimes. We just let them slip. We don't pay attention to them. And before you know it, 3 weeks gone by, we ain't said what God told us to say. Right. We let it slip. I'm telling you, go back and pick it up again and don't let it slip. And hold it up before God every day. Hold fast to your confession of what?
Faith.
Faith. That means that you can't see it yet. See, it's a confession of what? It's a confession of what you believe to be so. Right? That means that what you are confessing is not visible yet. It is a confession of faith. Glory to God. Confessions of faith that are stood upon and that are believed in become reality. Confessions of faith, when they run their full course, turn into reality. Glory to God. Boy, I hope y'all getting this. Hallelujah. So everybody say, I'm hold fast to my confession of faith without wavering. I'm not wavering, because God is faithful that promised me. See, the promise got to be personal to you. So you need to add that when the devil come and challenge your faith, you need to tell him, I'm holding fast to what I'm believing God for. And he'll say, why? You say, because he is faithful that promised. The Bible says in Titus 1, God that cannot lie promised. I like the order of that. That's strategic. God, see, he could have just said, God promised. But he said, hold on a minute. God, now hold up. That can't lie. Let's go forward. Promised. Y'all see that? You see that? How many of y'all getting that? God, hold on, hold it. We're talking about God. Let me tell y'all something about him. That cannot lie. Okay. God promised. The one that can't lie. Promised. God that cannot lie promised. I want you to know, God can't lie to you. God will not lie to you. God will not tell you one single solitary lie. He will not lie to you. He cannot lie to you. What he says and speaks over your life, he will do and make it happen. All he wants from you is to believe him. And ain't nobody on this earth can stop you from believing. Your mama can't stop you, your dad. I mean, no relatives, no kinfolk, tradition. Nobody can stop you from believing God. Amen. Turn to Psalms 91. Glory to God. How many of y'all getting this? How many of you are getting your grip back on your confession? Look at verse 1. He that dwells where? In the secret place of the Most High shall do what?
Abide.
Shall abide under who? Under the shadow of who?
Almighty.
The Almighty. He that does what?
Dwell.
I mean, the man found a place to live. He found a home. He that dwells in the what?
Secret place.
Of who?
The Most High.
The Most High. So we're not playing with a chump.
Amen.
We're not dealing with a chump here.
Right.
Amen.
He that dwells in the secret place of what?
The
Most High. Secret just means private. Right? Means that you have a private time with God. You got a secret place with him. You have your private time with him where it's just you and him. You have decided that that's where you're going to live. That you have decided that that's going to be your address in the spirit. He that dwells, he that lives habitually under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Of who?
The Most High.
Oh, so there's a secret place with the Most High.
Yes.
You see, it's in this secret place that confessions of faith are born.
Amen.
It's through your fellowship with the Lord that your confession of faith is given birth to. It is as you are spending time with him that he began to quicken words in your spirit, in your inner man, that you are supposed to release in the earth realm.
Right.
I call it speaking heaven's language on earth. That's what I call it. When you learn how to speak heaven's language, it is the language of the spirit. It is the language of the Holy Ghost. It's the language, it is the words that God give you to speak over your family, over your situation. Where you're speaking heaven's words on earth.
Hallelujah.
Creating heaven's reality on earth.
Praise God.
He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Y'all remember I told y'all about that lady from Pakistan? Where she was from? Pakistan? She was from Pakistan. I walked in there, I was dressed something like this here. In other words, I mean, I had a coat and a tie on. It's almost midnight. I walked in and she looked at me. She behind the counter, a little convenience store. So the lady looked at me, she said, "You a lawyer?" I said, "No, I'm a minister." She said, "I don't know what that is." She said, "You a doctor?" I said, "No." I said, "I'm a preacher." She said, "Oh, I don't know what that is." She said, then she asked me if I was something else, you know, because I was dressed, you know, I was a professional man. I said, "No." I said, "She don't understand preacher. She don't understand minister." I said, "I'm a pastor." She doesn't understand pastor. So I said this, "I am a servant of the Most High God." She said, "Oh." Then she said, "Allah?" I said, "Oh, no." Said, "Jesus Christ."
Hallelujah.
See, Most High, she understood that. I said, "No, I'm a servant of the Most High God."
Hallelujah.
Which I am.
Amen.
The Most High.
Glory to God.
The Most is high. The Most is highest.
Hallelujah.
Ain't nobody above him, understand? I mean, you ain't nowhere else to go when you done been to him. Ain't nowhere else to go. It's all downhill from that.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 131.